Chapter 12 this morning, please. Hebrews and chapter number 12. Good to be with you for this week. I got a nice crowd here this morning, and I just pray that the good crowds will continue throughout this week for the purpose of hearing from the Lord, hearing from the Lord Himself. And of course, you can hear from God by yourself through the Word of God. But it's always a blessing to be able to meet together and to hear from God's Word as well. Hebrews and chapter number 12. I did get a text message from my wife this morning that said last night wasn't very good, so with the kids. So it's definitely not healthy quite yet. But we can pray and see what the Lord will do with that situation this week. But Hebrews and chapter number 12. Why don't we stand, please, out of reverence for God's Word, Hebrews and chapter number 12. Hebrews and chapter number 12. And I'll be reading 13 verses from Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Thank you very much. At this time you may be seated, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here, to be with your people and to have your word and the opportunity to be able to preach. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time that we have together. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. I pray that you would speak to my own heart as well. And Lord, we would be able to say, like the psalmist, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And so God, I pray that you would just speak to hearts at this time. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The title of my message for this morning is Enjoy the Ride. Enjoy the Ride. Back in the year 2004, which as I said this morning was 10 years ago, I was a lead counselor at Camp Shatek, which is most certainly not far from here. I and my fiance at the time was also a lead counselor. And it was during family camp week, so things were not as busy as they normally are. And there's a man, maybe you remember who this was, I'm not going to try to remember who it was, but a man would often have his airplane across in the airport there, and he would also come to the camp. I don't remember if he was there for family camp or not, but he offered to give some people rides over there. So I thought that would be cool. You know, it's always cool to ride in an airplane. So I figured I would go with my fiance at the time, Gina. We would go and take a ride with this man, and we could see what Chetek looks like from the air. So I thought, hey, we can do that. I had some things I needed to do later in that day, but I certainly had some time to be able to take off and to go up, hopefully, on a ride. Well, I didn't realize the character of the man that was going to take us up. And maybe some of you know him, I forget who it was, but he was a guy that liked to have some fun up in the airplane. It wasn't just going to be just a soft ride in an airplane and we'll go over here and then we'll go over there. He decided he wanted to have some fun with it, but he didn't realize who I am. I've found out about myself through the years. I've actually gotten worse. I don't know if maybe I have some medical condition or what, but I get dizzy very easily these days. Very, very easily. And it's getting worse, to be honest with you. I can't even swing on a swing set anymore because I'll get too dizzy. I mean, I can push my kids on there and sometimes I'll go, but I won't give the effort. I know how to swing well. I can do it. I mean, back in the day when I was a kid, I used to try to get to the height of it and then I would jump off. I remember getting yelled at by one of my teachers at school because I did one of that, and it was a big one too. You know, I just went flying. But these days, there is no way in the world I could do that. If I really didn't want to preach, like on tomorrow night, what I could do is I could get on a swing set and I could try to go as hard as I could to try to get myself sick. Now, I'm not going to do that. I would never do that in a million years. But I can get sick so quickly, get dizzy so fast being on a swing set that I can just barely do it. For some reason, I just get dizzy very easily. And at that time was probably a time where I started to get dizzy easily. What this man wanted to do was he wanted to try to get something that could be suspended in the air. You know, an object, he would try to get it to suspend in the air. So what the plan to make that happen was to go up, you know, raise that up so the airplane would be going up in the air, and then he would go down like this. And the goal was try to make to suspend something in the air to make it float, you know. That was his goal. He accomplished his goal. But what he also accomplished was making me very sick. I may have enjoyed the ride, but I did not enjoy the ride because for the rest of the day, I had plans the rest of the day, and I'm not kidding you, I went right to bed when I got back. And I stayed there the rest of the day. Why? I did not feel good at all. People looked at me and they said I looked green, and I probably did. I did not enjoy that ride. And you know, sometimes in our Christian life, the Lord puts us on a ride. And many times in our own sinful nature, we do not enjoy that ride. But I believe the command of God for us in Hebrews chapter number 12 is to enjoy the ride. You know what? With that illustration of me being up in that airplane, if God would have said to me, "Well, Brian, you're going to get sick, but I want you to enjoy this ride," I would say, okay. God wants me to enjoy the ride, therefore I better enjoy the ride. And in Hebrews chapter number 12, God gives us a command to enjoy the ride. He gives this as a command. Let's look at it once again. In verse number 4, I'll read from verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." The purpose for this message is this, that we would recognize what chastening is, what chastening is for, and what is the result of chastening. Why is it that we often go through hard times? The reason that we go through hard times are, number one, the world. I'm going to read some verses here for you. Number one, and not in level of importance or level of severity, but some of the reasons that we go through a hard time are the world. John 16 and verse number 33 says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." That's very clear. "In the world ye shall have tribulation." But the Bible says, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So right there again, we can see that there's a command to enjoy the ride. Another reason that we can have go through trials and tribulations is because of the devil. We see that in the life of Job. He went through great trial and tribulation, and it was because of the devil. It was not God's plan himself to put Job through all of those trials and those tribulations. It's because now God gave him permission to, but it's because Satan wanted to, because Satan believed that if great trials and tribulations were brought to Job, that he would curse God to his face. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." That thorn in the flesh came from God, but with the Apostle Paul here, it was the messenger of Satan. The messenger of Satan. So the devil often makes our life quite difficult as well. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's another reason that we go through hard trials. But once again, I believe that we are supposed to enjoy the ride. Another reason that we go through trials and through tribulations is because of our own sinful nature. Also called our flesh is another reason why we go through hard times. Romans in chapter number 7 and verse number 15 says this, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." What the Apostle Paul is trying to say there is that his flesh, his sinful nature, is very wicked and very ungodly. So sometimes it can make life a little bit depressing, having to battle through sin. But at the same time, the command of God is to not despise the chastening hand of the Lord. These are reasons why we go through hard times. And another reason that we go through hard times is because of God. Now, you might not understand that right away. It's because of God. God brings many hard things to our life for the purpose of making us realize that we cannot depend upon ourselves, to be successful Christians. We cannot depend upon ourselves. We are very weak. The Bible says that we are very weak. The former governor of the state of Minnesota liked to say that religion was a crutch for some people, for some weak-minded people. He said that, and you know what? I agree with him. But he was saying it negatively, that we're weak and that he is strong, but what Jesse Ventura does not realize is that he is weak. He does not realize that. And yes, I do need the Lord because I am weak. And let me ask you a question. Are you weak? In your minds, you better be. You better be weak in your minds, because if you're not, I guarantee you're not depending upon God. You're not depending upon God. One of the ways that we realize that we are weak is the battle with our sinful nature. We can realize how weak we are. But if I don't battle the sinful nature, if I let it control me, then there's no way that I'm going to think I'm weak, because I'm not battling against anything. You know, if I try to run as fast as I can, and if that door is locked from the outside, and I try to run as fast as I can, and I'm going to try to knock the door open, I'm going to realize, you know what? I'm not very strong. I can't conquer that door. I am weak. But if I lift up this Bible, I can say, hey, that's not a problem. But doing other things makes me realize, hey, I'm weak. I'm weak. And as our battle against our flesh and our battle against the devil and our battle against the world shows us that we are weak. Hebrews chapter 12, once again, First of all, I'd like to talk about verses 5 through 7. I'd like to talk about our attitude. What is the attitude that we should have about the chastening hand of God? And the Bible says that many times the chastening hand of God is something that is grievous. Now, what is the chastening hand of God? It can also be called child training. You know, I train my children to hopefully behave in a way that will please God, and I train my children so that hopefully when they get out on their own, that they're able to take care of themselves. Those are my two goals with my own training of my children. But that's the chastening hand of God. If you're saved, He is trying to train you to live and to think a certain way. God is training you. If you're saved, that's what the chastening hand of God is. And God has, He has not perfectly trained me, because none of us will be perfectly trained in this life. But God is chastening us so that we will behave and act a certain way. And yes, that's for you too. As an adult, I don't care how old you are. If you are saved, God is training you. And hopefully you say yes to Him as He is training you, as He is chastening you. But verses number 5, once again, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." As I look at this verse, it says, "Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." I need to say, okay, the chastening that I am going through, the chastening that I am in, I am not supposed to hate it. Now, in our flesh, we want to. We want to think to ourselves, I hate this. I wish the Lord would take this away, just like the Apostle Paul wished that God would take that thorn in the flesh away. But we need to say, hey, you know what? This is God's plan for me. I am not supposed to hate this. I am supposed to welcome it. So our attitude should be about the chastening hand of God should be this. We should welcome it. We should welcome it, because we can understand that through this, I am going to understand God better, which means I will have more peace in my own life as a result of knowing God closer. And a way that I can know God closer is through the chastening hand of God. We should welcome it. We should welcome the chastisement and not despise it. And we certainly should not faint when we're rebuked of Him. We certainly should not quit. We should not give less of an effort as a result of the chastening hand of God, but we should continually give 100%. We should welcome it. We should welcome the chastening hand of God. Verse number 6. Here is one of the reasons that we should welcome it. Verse number 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Notice a very important word there. An important word there is every. The Lord chastens and scourges every single son. There is no son, I'll use daughter so the ladies know I'm counting them too. There is no son or daughter of the Lord or a child of God that does not receive the chastening hand of God. There's not a single one. Every single true child of God is chastened of the Lord. A few years ago, I was preaching in Tennessee. And at this church that I was at, I was getting ready to preach. It was before the service, and I was just kind of taking it easy. There weren't a lot of people there yet. So what I was doing is I was sitting down in a chair in a nursery, just relaxing, and just pretty much relaxing. And there was they had two nurseries there, one for toddlers and then one for infants. And the mother of this one child that was a toddler was in the infant nursery. And I was sitting in the nursery, just like I said, I was just relaxing. And the toddler came out and said these words, "My mom is stupid." That's what the toddler said. "My mom is stupid." Now, I'm going to try to be fair as possible. I'm 95% sure that the toddler said those words, okay? I'm not 100% sure, but it's pretty close, okay? 95%, 96, whatever. I am pretty sure that's what the child said, but to be perfect, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it did. What do you say the child did? You say, "Brother Brian, you're the preacher. What did you do about it?" Nothing. "You're the preacher. You didn't do anything about it?" No. Why? that child is not my child. You can do all the DNA tests you want and you'll find out that that child is not my child. Now, if my child would have said something like that, then the story would be different. I would have trained the child. At that point, that child would have received some training from dad. And rightfully so. Why? I left that child alone because that child is not my child. And folks, let me be very clear. If you are not a true child of God, you will not experience the chastening hand of God. If you are not truly saved, you will not be chastened of the Lord. The fact is, I believe this with all of my heart. This has been in my mind for a long time. That I believe what we could do, now we're not going to do it, but what we could do is I could have all of you, every single person in this room, if you're saved, I could have every single person in this room make a line right here. And what we could do is every single one of you could get behind this pulpit, and we wouldn't do it because it would be embarrassing and awkward and all those kind of things. But what I could have you do, if you're really saved, I could have you get behind this pulpit and I could have you give details of the chastening hand of God. I believe every single Christian could do that. You could wait your turn. The individual could talk about the times in his or her life that the chastening hand of God has been there and what God has done. You could say what the sin was. You could say what the judgment was. You could say when you got right with God. You could say maybe you're in chastisement right now. But every single true child of God could get behind this pulpit and talk about the chastening hand of God that they've had at some point in their life. Now, the Christian might be nervous because you're getting up in front of people. That's understandable. But I wonder how many people would be nervous because they wouldn't know what to say. They wouldn't know what to say. They would have to think to themselves, what can I make up about the chastening hand of God? What details could I make up to try to explain the chastening hand of God because they've not felt the chastening hand of God? And as a Christian, I just have to go with my own personal experiences. I know the chastening hand of God. I could at this point sit behind this pulpit and talk about some of the details of my life of the chastening hand of God. And I believe that every single Christian could. Because all, the Bible says, I looked at it just a little bit ago, verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every single one, every son whom he receiveth. Verses 6 and 7 also, we can come to the conclusion that we should feel loved. We should feel loved. And I think oftentimes children, it's hard to know exactly what other children are thinking sometimes, but I can guarantee you that in children's thinking that when somebody pays attention to them that often does not, they feel loved. Recently, I had my eyes opened a little bit. Just a few weeks ago, we went to a mini family reunion down in southern Minnesota. And my kids were there at the time. And it was a long-distance relative said to me that was talking about her own grandchildren. And she said that her grandchildren don't behave as well as my children do. Now, I'm not bragging about that, but my eyes were open from the fact that, yeah, my grandchild is always trying to seek attention, always trying to get attention. Now, my question is, why is that child always trying to seek attention? Because it's obvious, we can come to an obvious conclusion, that the child is not getting the attention. And I'm not bragging again, I don't see my children seeking people's attention. Because I can praise the Lord, I can give them the attention and the love that they want. And if we are chastened of God, we can realize that the reason we're being chastened is because God loves us. It is an active love. I'm against the parenting that's like this. You know, I believe when you talk to your kids, you should sit them down and look at them right in the face. I hate the parenting that's like this. My son's name is Ezra, for the sake of illustration. Ezra, go clean up your room. You know, I hate that parenting. That's not how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to look at them in the eye in a correct voice. We're not supposed to be, it's like you're a hindrance by us walking by and not looking at them. It's like you're a hindrance to me. Or I have so much to do that I can't really spend 100% attention with you. We need to make sure if you're a parent at this time, that we are doing that, that we are paying attention to them. And really what we do when we're doing that is we're showing them love. Like God shows to us when he chastens us, we should feel loved. Verse number 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, there's the words again, whereof all are partakers. What's all mean? It means every single child of God. Wherefore all are partakers. I can praise the Lord. I'm one of those partakers. Say, aren't you ashamed of that? No. Because the Bible says that every single Christian is a partaker of the chastisement of God. And it's very clear right there is as well. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Let's be very simple and plain. No chastisement, no salvation. No chastisement, no salvation. Because part of being saved means you become a child of God, which means at that point God is trying to change you. And if God is not trying to change you or work in you, something is wrong. No chastisement, no salvation. I also want to bring out that all Christians experience the chastening hand of God. Philippians 1 verse number 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, there's some things that I tell myself that I will do. In other words, I'm not going to compromise. I say to myself, I will do this. I am going to finish this. I got a trailer, a luggage trailer that I'm working on. And I want to make sure that is done by the time I leave for Tennessee in January. And I say to myself, I am going to do this. I will do this. And God is very much the same way. I'll quote that verse again, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, that good work was the moment of salvation. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just like I am emphatic that I am going to finish that trailer come January, God is also emphatic that the good work he has started in you, if you're saved, he's going to continue that work in you until the day of Jesus Christ, or until the day of the rapture. That is his focus. He is focused. He has decided this is what he's going to do. He's not going to quit his work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to quit. That's the promise of God. If you're saved, you will experience the chastisement of God. No salvation, no chastisement. The Bible is very clear right here. All Christians experience the chastisement of God. Sometimes that chastisement is outward. Now don't think to yourself, do not think this. If somebody gets into a car accident, you think to yourself, oh, that must be the chastening hand of God. You don't know that. You never know what God is thinking. I always say that I am very confident in what the Word of God says, but I am not confident in knowing why God does certain things. Why God does certain things in my life, why God does certain things in other people's life. It is wrong for me to say, without a doubt, I know why that happened in your life. That's an arrogant and proud statement. But from God's perspective, I can know exactly what it is that the Bible says, and I can be strong on that. And sometimes chastisement is outward. We know. Now, for instance, let me show you this. God's not going to chasten us without us knowing. In other words, you're not going to come to me and say, Brian, God is chastening you. If you want to really know if you're being chastened, you know. God is going to reveal that to you. I am chastening you. God's not going to leave you in the dark over something like that. So sometimes it's outward and sometimes it's inner. God can chasten you inwardly and nobody can tell that anything is wrong. God can chasten you inwardly. But let's keep going here. Verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse number 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? If we are in obedience, we will live. Now, I know we're living physically, but living brings God's blessing, shows God's blessing. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Chastening is profitable for us because we are partaking of his holiness. Hopefully very soon, here in a few minutes, I will partake of some food with all of you as well. I am taking of that food. When we are chastened, it's profitable for us because we are partaking of his very holiness. We change and become more like the Lord because we are partaking of his holiness. That's the blessing that chastisement brings. Righteousness comes from chastening. Righteousness comes from chastening. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Righteousness is a fruit, and it brings peace. Righteousness comes from chastening, and righteousness brings peace. As I talked about this morning in Sunday school, we see it right there. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And then verse number 12, we have the encouragement. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Christians, if you're experiencing the chastening hand of God, the temptation is just to, honestly, to hate our lives. That's the temptation. But the Bible is very clear. Do not despise the chastening hand of God, because at that time, God is showing his love for you. And what we're supposed to do is exactly what verse 12 and verse 13 tell us. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Now, God's emphasis here is not on physical. It's on spiritual. But to give an illustration physically, it says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Our focus needs to be that God is showing his love for us through this chastening, and God is also giving me the opportunity to be a partaker of his holiness. That's his encouragement to us. If we are being chastened of God, and all Christians are chastened of God, that's his encouragement to us. And so we need to be obedient. We need to say, yes, Lord. We need to pick up ourselves spiritually and just the focus on the Lord and enjoy the ride. Because I have great news. Someday, the ride will be over. And you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to be honest with yourself as to whether you gave 100% on the ride or not. Someday it will all be over. So at this time, since the ride is not over, we need to make sure that we are obedient and we need to make sure that we enjoy the ride. God is a faithful Father. He will chasten us so that we can be a partaker of his holiness. I'd like everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed at this time.